It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. The Republican federal budget bill includes language that would restrict states' ability to regulate artificial intelligence. The initial bill that passed in the House would ban states from regulating AI for the next 10 years. Senate Republicans on the Commerce Committee changed that language last week to block federal broadband funding for states that regulate AI. Three state lawmakers from Wisconsin signed on to a bipartisan letter to Congress saying that measure should be removed. Democratic State Senator Kelda Royes of Madison signed on to that letter. Senator Royes, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Great to be with you.
What led you to sign on to this letter? What caught your eye about this AI provision in the House bill?
Well, I think it's very dangerous for Congress to try to prevent state governments from taking action to prevent our constituents or address the very serious challenges that arise with AI.
Now, AI is big. It covers a lot of ground. What kind of specific concerns do you have where you think, yes, it is appropriate for a state government or maybe even a local government to have a look at it and see if they need some kind of regulation?
Yeah, I mean, listen, AI is very exciting technology, and it has tremendous promise and opportunity, but it also carries huge risks. Number one risk, I think, being disinformation, but also the energy use, the potential for discrimination, for privacy violations, or other kinds of consumer protection challenges like fraud, a lack of transparency. You know, you think about more broadly, societally, what is it going to mean in terms of worker displacement, right? And so all of these questions are very new. And that's why I think it's very good to have state policymakers saying, hey, for instance, we don't want deep fakes in campaign ads, right? We want to make sure that people know if they're going to be calling a customer service center, if they're talking to an AI or if they're talking to a human being. We want to make sure that vulnerable people don't get scammed by AI fraud. So all of these are really novel but important areas of potential legislation, and states should be free to take action on them.
Now, the House version of this reconciliation bill would have been a 10-year effective ban on state regulation of AI. A Senate Commerce Committee change says, well, not a ban, but, oh, if you do anything in the next 10 years about AI, you lose all your federal broadband funding. Does that make it any more or less palatable to you?
No, I think that's functionally a ban. I mean, the idea is, like, if you want your citizens to be connected to the modern world via broadband, then you have to accept totally unregulated AI. That's not acceptable. You know, it is really an example of how corrupt and dysfunctional Congress has become, I think. The idea that Congress is unwilling or unable to address big policy challenges like the transformations that are going to come with AI, and they also want to preempt states from taking action, I think that's really unacceptable. And I don't think that people in Wisconsin or in any other state should accept that state of affairs.
Two of your Republican colleagues over on the Assembly side also signed this national letter of state lawmakers. We invited them to join this conversation. They didn't respond to our request. But that said, have you been talking to them or other legislative colleagues here in the state about this provision?
Yes, I have. And I've talked with them more generally about AI. And I think, you know, this is an area that is new enough that it hasn't yet settled into sort of predictable partisan patterns, which is good. There's an opportunity there. But I do think it's very disappointing to see that House Republicans in Washington, D.C., are essentially taking this no regulation approach to AI at the federal level. I think that's very dangerous. But my hope is that Republicans at the state level will still be willing to think about what we can and need to be doing to protect our constituents' interests and particularly our kids, right? We've just gone through a massive experiment on a generation of young people with access to smartphones and social media, and it hasn't gone well. And I would hate to think that we're compounding the error by allowing AI to run rampant over the next generation of young people.
I talked to Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson last week and asked him about this part of the bill. He said he's also opposed to what at that point was the outright ban on AI regulation by states.
I don't like it because it hasn't been discussed. It hasn't been debated. This is an incredibly complex issue. AI, and I'm using it right now just in terms of the budget debate. I'm doing sensitivity analysis on the CBO projection. It's marvelous. It's a great tool, but it could be unbelievably dangerous as well.
Some Republicans in the House say they regret having voted for the bill with this provision in it. I want to ask you to predict the future and what comes out of this big bill in Congress, but are you encouraged by hearing some opposition from Republicans who hold the majorities in the federal legislature?
I am. I think it's good, but you know, the problem is they already voted for it in the House. And I don't think it's an appropriate defense to say, well, I didn't really read the bill. I didn't know what was in it before I voted in favor of it. Well, maybe you should have slowed down, taken the time to do your job. Any other American would not be able to get away with that in their workplace. And I don't think that Congress should be able to either. All of us have to vote on legislation, and there may be aspects that we agree or disagree with, but the idea that, oh, I didn't know that was in the bill because I didn't actually take the time to do due diligence is not acceptable.
We're talking to Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce about her concerns over a bill in Congress, a provision in the rescission bill that would limit states' ability to regulate artificial intelligence. AI, of course, one among many issues you deal with in the legislature, Senator Royce, but assuming the state retains the ability to regulate these things, are there items, agenda items you'd like to see when it comes to how AI is used, how it's deployed here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. And I think, at the forefront of this is really about transparency and consumer protection, right? Making sure that when someone is interacting with an AI system, that they are aware of that, making sure that there are guardrails around how data is used, privacy protections for people's personal sensitive information, protections against discrimination, so that we're not replicating inequalities, and protections, especially for children. I think those are really at the top of my list. And then more broadly, figuring out what we can do to reduce the energy use of these AI systems and how we can address some of the consequences for workers and employment.
An argument, of course, from industry is, hey, this is an important part of the economy, potentially transformational. We want the United States to be out ahead of it. It's very difficult if we have to say, okay, well, in Illinois, we can do this. In Wisconsin, we can't. Maybe at this county, we could do this. This county, we can't. These kind of local and state regulations are a roadblock to a potentially important industry. What do you say to that argument?
Well, these companies are among the most powerful and wealthy in the world, right? They are backed by billions of dollars in venture capital. So the idea that they can't have adequate compliance with our laws, I think is laughable when you consider that I, as a small business owner, am still responsible for, dealing with all of the laws and following the regulations wherever I operate and do business. And that is as it should be, right? All of us are responsible for following the law where we live or where we travel. And the idea that the biggest and most powerful corporations find that too hard is not persuasive to me at all.
As we wrap up, Senator Royce, you signed onto this letter, over a couple hundred lawmakers from around the country, bipartisan. Is that the end of your efforts, or are you and the others who signed this staying in touch and trying to keep on top of this issue?
Well, certainly I'm going to try to keep on top of this issue. Obviously, this provision already went through the House, but hopefully in the Senate, it looks like that bill is falling apart because there's so much consternation about it. And the Republican Party seems split over some of the other provisions in the bill. So my hope is that we can put a hold on this and allow states the freedom to continue doing as we have been and rising to meet the challenge of AI.
Senator Royce, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Kelda Royce is a Democratic state senator from Madison. She was with us today to share her concerns about language in the Congressional Budget Reconciliation Bill that would restrict states' ability to regulate artificial intelligence. Now we're turning to an expert on AI to help us better understand how that technology is politicized and regulated. Annette Zimmerman is an assistant professor of philosophy and affiliate professor of statistics at UW-Madison. She's a political philosopher of artificial intelligence, and she's co-lead on the UW-Madison Uncertainty and AI Research Group. Annette, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
AI is a big, huge topic. It covers a lot of ground. Big picture, how do you see governments responding when it comes to regulation or resistance to regulation?
Well, we're currently experiencing what some might call a deregulation renaissance in the US. It's actually been very interesting recently in AI policy because What we saw in the last few years was a marked departure from the standard Silicon Valley ethos of moving fast and breaking things and just resisting all kinds of regulation. But actually, especially under the Biden administration, there was a lot more of an effort to actually subject AI design and deployment to critical scrutiny and to real regulation. Now, the tide has turned, and we're back in this era of many, many different voices, both in politics and in the tech industry, suddenly calling for much less regulation again.
What are some of the issues for everyday people in the United States that they might want to worry about, that they might think, hey, if there isn't regulation, I could be at risk here?
Well, I can think of at least three major areas that concern people every day. The first one is just the use of personal data and private information. The second one is the problem that large language models can sometimes spread falsehoods. They can hallucinate and they can come up with content that is presented in a very authoritative sounding voice, but actually isn't factually correct. And thirdly, and lastly, there is still a problem of different algorithmic tools treating some people differently than others. So this phenomenon of algorithmic discrimination that actually has plagued the AI space over the past years, even before the rise of tools like ChatGPT, is still an unsolved problem. So in many areas, we see that some users have a dramatically different experience than others, and often those differences actually track existing structures of social inequality. So those three problems are obviously a concern for anyone who cares about regulating AI. And if we fail to regulate, those three issues will remain unsolved.
Let's tackle each of those in turn. Privacy, first of all. Now, I understand in Europe, for example, there are stronger privacy protections for online data, abilities to opt out of some things. Can you compare and contrast how other countries, maybe the European Union in particular, have tackled regulation and protection of privacy when it comes to AI?
Well, the European Union has adopted a notoriously heavy-handed approach to regulation. The positive side of that, of course, is that there are very comprehensive protections in place for ordinary citizens and consumers on EU territory. So there's much more scope for everyday citizens to control what kind of data is being shared with their consent. That doesn't exist in this form in the United States. So the US is still a much less regulated technology space. And in particular, when it comes to cutting-edge AI tools, there is no meaningful federal regulation in America right now that comes at all close to the European model.
That's privacy. Now, you also mentioned bad information. Well, just last week, I was talking about a bill in our legislature in Wisconsin. I looked online to look up some information about it. I didn't ask for an AI answer, but it gave me a Q&A that told me that this legislation had been passed. It hadn't been passed. It had been introduced just a few days later, but as you said, very authoritative. This exists in Wisconsin. My example is not the only example of this happening. How big a problem is this, and can regulation, how would regulation even work for information, bad information like that?
I really like your example because I think it matches what most people experience when they now use Google. And so that's a massive problem. We're now getting this slew of new AI tools that are integrated into other tools that we're familiar with, but now they are AI everything. So they integrate generative AI into decisions and tasks that previously worked without AI. So at the top of every Google search result, we now see this AI-generated summary that, you know, we might not necessarily want as everyday users. That can be highly misleading because if you're pressed for time, probably your eyes are going to dart immediately to that first paragraph. So even if there is a little disclaimer on there, hey, you know, tools can hallucinate and they could maybe contain information that isn't entirely accurate, chances are on an everyday basis, you're not going to have the time or the energy to really investigate this. So I worry about the de facto kind of pragmatic effects of quickly deploying all of these AI tools. Even if they have disclaimers in place, that doesn't really solve the problem. And of course, from a kind of top-down regulation perspective, it's also really hard to regulate this. In a way, the problem starts earlier because the problem started when big tech companies decided unilaterally to just slap AI on every single product. And so regulation is playing catch-up with all of this. We don't have almost any real framework in place, certainly at the federal level, that can give us a good answer here.
We're talking to Annette Zimmerman from the UW-Madison, a philosophy and statistics professor there, looking at regulations or lack of same when it comes to artificial intelligence. Annette, that third concern you had mentioned was on kind of replicating inequalities. And this is something people have been talking about when we were talking about algorithms and we weren't using ChatGPT as a phrase or artificial intelligence necessarily, but the idea that we're using these things for maybe criminal sentencing or credit reporting, or the list goes on. And if there's stereotypes, if there's discrimination built into the data sets, well, that's what they're going to put out. How big a worry is that?
Yeah, so you're totally right that algorithmic bias is actually a bit of an older problem. So even 10 years ago with, earlier forms of machine learning, we saw these kinds of biases happening in domains like, criminal justice tools or, as you rightly point out, credit lending tools. But this problem still hasn't been solved in the generative AI space. Let me give you just one example. With an earlier iteration of ChatGPT, at the time, it was called GPT-3, came out in 2020. OpenAI put out this research paper kind of critically self-reflecting on some problems with that version of the tool. And it turned out, and OpenAI, to their credit, admitted this very transparently, that GPT-3 predicted very different kinds of content for different kinds of sentences. So if you gave it the prompt, "Women are dot, dot, dot versus men are dot, dot, dot," it would give you vastly different outputs. So what OpenAI did in that paper is they actually gave us a top 10 list of outputs that they would get for these two cases, right? And so in the case of "men are dot, dot, dot," the most likely completion of that sentence would be something like "strong, eccentric, bold." But for women, it was bubbly, naughty, pregnant, and gorgeous. So there's a kind of clear disparity there in terms of what sorts of social stereotypes get replicated at the level of outputs for these kinds of tools. So the minute we use a large language model, we're not using a kind of thinking, living entity. We're using something that works a little bit like a parrot, right? So we replicate the kinds of texts that are already floating around in the world, and those texts, those bits of data are biased. So we see those biases reoccurring.
Annette, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Annette Zimmerman is an assistant professor of philosophy and an affiliate professor of statistics at UW-Madison. She was with us today for a look at the regulation of artificial intelligence as the congressional budget bill includes language that would restrict states' ability to regulate AI. Earlier, we heard from Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, one of three Wisconsin state lawmakers who signed a bipartisan letter to Congress opposing that proposal.